All right, lads, welcome back to Inside MC, the podcast writes it down with an amazing guest. Every week, every 2 weeks, it kind of varies, all right? It's been an interesting end to the year. But regardless, it's okay, because this week I'm joined with someone really cool, actually kind of completing a Thanos Infinity Gauntlet, which we'll get into later on in the podcast. I'm really bigging him up here. I am joined today with Cub Fan.
Hello, hello. It is I, Cub of the Fan variety. Good to be here.
How are you today?
I am fantastic. It's actually snowing outside. I made my way through the snow earlier today, and now I'm in a warm building, so all is good.
Treks through the snow just to show up on the podcast. I respect it. That's what I'm going to say in my head. That's what I'm convinced myself has happened here.
Yeah.
And I thought it was cold here, like, because I was telling you beforehand that my setup is in my garden. So I went inside just before this, and it's like freezing out there. But I don't think it's quite snowy levels is the difference.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, snow and ice, not my forte. So I'm glad to be inside and glad to be talking to you on the podcast, man.
I'm very glad to have you as well. Thank you very much. Before we get into waffling away about everything that we're going to waffle about today, I always like to give the introduction for you to introduce yourself. So who are you? What do you do? And if you have a fun fact either about yourself or just a fun fact you have in general, floor's yours.
All right. So my name is CubFan135. I've been making YouTube videos online for about 10 years now. Probably actually more than that. Probably like 11, 12 years now. And yeah, I play on the Hermitcraft SMP with a bunch of other content creators. I participate in a lot of events, Twitch Rivals, Block Wars, various other events. I've been, as I said, making videos and streaming for about 10, 12 years now. So mostly Minecraft stuff, but other games as well. And I think that's basically it.
Well, is that the fun fact? Is that what you're choosing?
Oh, the fun fact. Right, yes. Let me think of a fun fact. Let's see. A fun fact is that there are more trees on Earth than there are visible stars in the sky.
Ooh.
That's my fun fact.
Okay. And how many visible stars are there in the sky? Do you know?
I do not know. I think it's in the thousands, but there's actually more trees on Earth than there are stars in the Milky Way galaxy. It's even more of a fun fact.
That's kind of insane. I'm kind of curious how you know that.
So there's like estimates vary, but it's like I was an astrophysics major in college, so that's how I'm aware of that fun fact. But basically, there's like 100 billion stars, and there's like a couple trillion trees, like 2 trillion trees. So a lot of trees.
A lot of trees, especially for a planet like this, I guess. I don't really know where I was going with that sentence, but you see the meaning. You get the idea.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
I guess then, because you've kind of done like a nice little transition here, so we might as well talk about it. Addressing the elephant in the room, you're a Minecraft content creator, and you mentioned there how you studied, and you know, like when people talk about college, and sometimes a lot of the time it's like they did maybe social media, or they did editing, or they did this or that, especially nowadays, right? But when you talk to content creators who have been around in the scene for like a fairly long time, their studies like vary a lot more than like nowadays, right? So studying astrophysics, quite the difference to Minecraft, I'd say. A little bit. How did you go from... Okay, actually, first question here. Why did you choose to study astrophysics?
I chose to study astrophysics because it was applied math. I don't know if you're a big fan of math, but I'm a huge fan of math and science in general.
I used to be.
I grew up... You used to be, okay. Well, I grew up like reading books by Carl Sagan and Richard Feynman and, you know, some of the famous astronomers and scientists of the day. So I grew up reading all that, and that was always really interesting to me. And so when I got to university, I had to, you know, pick a topic of study, and astronomy just seemed like the coolest one. Like, it just seemed like the most fun, the most interesting, because a lot of fields, you know, you deal with, they study everything on Earth, which is really interesting and really important, obviously, since we live here. But then there's everything else in existence that you can also study. So I figured, why not go for the big thing, you know?
And obviously you still know a fair bit about it, like you kind of proved it there with your fun facts. I know in a few videos, I'm not sure like how, obviously I didn't get a chance to watch every single video, but I know you've brought it up in a few videos before, like your knowledge and what you know, all that kind of jazz. How did you end up on a Minecraft podcast?
Good question. So basically, I have talked about it in videos and stuff in the past, and I actually built some stuff, like I built the Whirlpool Galaxy in Minecraft before, and, you know, some planets and rockets, ships and stuff like that. So I've kind of integrated that a little bit into Minecraft, but the way I got into Minecraft was I was actually working a job and just sort of doing Minecraft as a hobby. And I think a lot of creators who've been around for a while, they sort of started off just as a hobby. And then as YouTube became more sort of bigger in the wider consciousness, and you know, people got more views and you could monetize your channel. People were like, hey, I'm making so much money on this, why not just do this full time? And I was just like, yeah, I can just do this full time, and yeah, making more money than I was in my regular job. So I thought, you know what, let's just go for this, let's do this full time. And the rest is pretty much history.
What was your regular job at the time?
I was in IT. I was doing computer repairs, so you know, reinstalling people's OS, reforming hard drives, transferring data, stuff like that.
And this was, so you've been doing content, and I'll get the exact number here so I don't say it wrong. Your first video, at least public video, was uploaded 12 years ago when, oh my god, I forgot the bookshelves used to look like that. So colorful.
The old textures are wild.
It's changed a fair bit, yeah. So you started content 12 years ago. How many years ago was it that you made content a full-time gig?
I think it was about 10-ish years ago, roughly.
So oh, geez, it I had didn't about take you two, long at all then.
Yeah, 2 or 3 years when it was just a hobby and when I went full-time. Of course, back then it was a little bit easier. You know, you didn't have to be quite as big, and you know, weren't all these other things going on with YouTube that you had to worry about.
And nowadays it's changed. And like the content that you're still pumping out now, like you upload once a week, you're doing obviously Hermitcraft, you're sending at the moment, you do other stuff like that. It's like you're still right. comfortable, which is nice as well to say. You're still like happy with what you're doing and you're still able to make it a full-time gig.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, very fortunate to have been able to join Hermitcraft when I did back in, I think, 2016 or so. And yeah, that Hermitcraft series has been phenomenal for me and others on the SMP. And yeah, we also have huge support, you know, on Twitch and stuff, subscribers that have been with me for years and years now that have made all this possible, honestly. Really, really incredible to be a part of.
Oh, that's sweet, actually. I like that.
Cheers. Cheers.
Before we move more into like the kind of content talk like that and all that kind of jazz, I wanted to ask you. So the name Cub Fan, obviously, I would normally ask about the branding. I think the branding's a little bit obvious, I'll say, with the whole astrophysics. You can obviously correct me if I'm wrong, if there's another reasoning. But how did you get the name Cub Fan?
All right, so Cub Fan is actually was because way back in the era of early YouTube, I didn't even know I was going to make videos. So I was picking a username. This was back even before I started making videos, I picked my username. So this was like 2006 when YouTube first started, like way back, like 20 years ago. So I was picking names, and I was a fan of the Chicago Cubs baseball team because I'm from Chicago area. And I thought, you know, I'm a fan of the Cubs. I need a username. Why not Cub Fan? So I tried Cub Fan 1. It didn't work. And then I tried Cub Fan 2 and it didn't work. Cub Fan 3 didn't work. And so finally I was just like, you know what? I'm going to just go for it. Cub Fan 135. And it went through. And that's how I got my username. Just thought I needed one and didn't even think much of it. And now I think it's too late to change at this point. But yeah, it sort of worked out for me.
With that, it leads into a follow-up question then, which I always find incredibly interesting. So if you could now go back knowing where you'd be in the success you had, you can't change anything about content creation apart from your name. Would you change it?
I would probably change it to something else. Yeah.
You got any ideas?
I'm not sure what. Maybe like if I knew I was going to go into Minecraft, maybe Cube Fan with an E in there.
Okay.
So it's like the cube, like the block game, like sort of ties in there with the cube thing. So maybe Cube Fan or something.
It feels so odd to hear Cube Fan knowing Cub. Like, obviously, Doesn't it? Well, it'd be like so normal, right? Like, you know, if everything said the same, it'd be completely fine. But now knowing your name is Cub Fan, hearing the idea of Cube Fan just sounds so odd, but not in a negative way, but still odd.
Yeah. It's a little bit, it's like a Mandela effect type thing, right? Where it's like a little off, but not quite enough off to where it's like too different. Yeah,
like all you've done is add an E. Still odd, regardless.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. And then content creation. So you've kind of kept the same, like regarding your YouTube channel here, you've kind of kept the same kind of niche throughout the years. You know, you've like throughout your time in content creation, you still do the rough, like not rough, but you know, you do the, how do I word this? Like the Let's Play videos, right? You have little spin-offs every now and then where you'll do something different, but they are very much like 30 minute average, you know, just gameplay videos, right? Obviously edited up. No, you're not just doing raw footage, but you get what I mean here.
Sure.
I guess why did you decide to keep the same format for so long? How comes nothing's ever changed?
Well I just like it. I like mostly playing vanilla Minecraft. And I like to, in my videos, make sort of a cohesive story so that people can follow all the way through the series. Sometimes I feel like, you know, especially nowadays with YouTube, things get cut up and you miss out on a lot of the actual playing of Minecraft and other games. So I wanted to keep the format, and I've kept the format roughly the same throughout the last couple of years, because I feel like having that narrative and having that cohesiveness throughout the series actually adds a lot of value, especially to rewatchability of series. So that's sort of the reason I've kept with mostly vanilla Minecraft, because that's what most players are familiar with and know. And then, I keep most stuff in and keep the narrative of the video the same by not having too much editing, but still trying to get a lot done in each video.
Do you think that helps you like stand out as a content creator? Because some people are doing the same kind of idea with like the format of their videos, but it's not very common nowadays. Videos are very much like, you know, I mean, you I'm sure you know about it, for a period there, the Mr. Beastification of YouTube, but like it's the high edits, yeah. The cuts, the fast gameplay, this, that, blah, blah, blah. So do you think the way you make your content kind of helps you stand out now in that sense, like keeping the consistency?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think especially nowadays, making content in the way that I make it definitely helps me to stand out quite a bit, because like, as you said, and like people are, some of these videos are highly edited, highly, I guess, optimized for the algorithm, if I do say so. The Mr. Beastification of YouTube has sort of taken away a little bit from the, what I would consider like the heart of YouTube, where it's about, you know, showing a good story and making great videos that people can follow for a long time, rather than just, you know, great one-off videos. Not saying those one-off videos aren't great at times, but I do feel like there's a place for both the really like really engaging long form videos and the sort of one-off videos that are sort of hyper, you know, hyper, I guess, building up the story that happens during them.
Stick with me here, because this is going to be a bit of a lengthy one, but it's going to make sense eventually. So when I used to stream, I still stream Minecraft. When I used to stream Minecraft Bedrock Edition, I used to play with a texture pack for a while. Someone turned around to me and they said, stop playing with a texture pack. And I said, okay. So I stopped playing with a texture pack and then my viewer count went up. So when people asked me like why I don't use a texture pack, I gave them the reason and the person told me not to use a texture pack anymore. And it was because so that people know they're watching Minecraft. So with your content, because it's such like I'm just going to use the word raw footage. You know what I mean when I say it. It's just raw gameplay, right, of Minecraft, like without any crazy changes. I think when people click on your videos, especially the OGs who have been with you for so long, they know they're still watching a Minecraft video. The reason I'm saying stick with me here is because obviously when you're watching a Minecraft video, you know you're watching one, right? But without the fancy texture packs, without the fancy edits and stuff like that, it makes you feel like, I don't know, like it's like that nostalgia, right? For someone who maybe hasn't watched your channel in like 5 years, they come back, they rewatch your channel, and then bang, all of a sudden, it's the same as it used to be. They know they're still watching a Minecraft channel. Do you get what I mean
exactly,
by that?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, I think it's a little more, it makes it a little more personal too, because it's much more relatable to people to see something that they're familiar with and that they can do themselves, right? Because like I do some crazy things in Minecraft and make some crazy contraptions and build like massive scale, but fundamentally like everybody can relate to playing regular Minecraft, whereas if I was playing with a whole bunch of mods and, you know, texture packs and all these other things, it might not be as relatable and it might not be as impactful.
Yeah, exactly. So you mentioned earlier that you joined Hermitcraft in season 6. So in the intro, I said there was an infinity gauntlet moment, right? It's kind of an infinity gauntlet moment. So over the years of doing the Inside MC podcast, I've had a lot of really, really cool guests on. And I will say, like, every guest I've had on is because I've wanted them to come on the podcast. However, you are the first hermit to make an appearance on the podcast. So I know people were very excited for your appearance, because, I mean, even myself here, like, it's not like a goal for collection, but at the same time, it is really cool to finally say that, like, I've had someone from Hermitcraft on the podcast. So with that being said, how did you join Hermitcraft?
Oh, that's a good question. So I joined actually back in season 4 in 2016.
Oh, sorry, apologies. I got the 2016 confused with season 6. There we go. Sorry about that.
All good. I joined back in season 4 in 2016. The way that I joined was, at that time, I believe Hermitcraft was ending their third season, going into their fourth, and they were looking for sort of a new spark of people to join. So I joined along with I joined along with Ren and Wells and Iskall and Scar and those folks. We all came in. I think there was 5 of us in that group that came in, and we we had all played together on a previous server. We basically I knew Asuma from some previous interactions with him. in some other games and in Minecraft, I think. We did a couple collabs on like some farms and things way back. So we kind of had a connection. I kind of had a connection through Asuma. And one day he messaged me and said, hey, man, you want to join Hermitcraft? And I was like, yeah, I guess so. Why not? Sounds like a cool idea. And yeah, rest is history pretty much.
What are some of your favorite memories so far from Hermitcraft?
Oh man, that's a tough question. There's so many. I would say, let's see. I'll try and pick one from each season. So in season 4, I had a chicken farm explode, which was amazing because the chickens went everywhere, and I think we found chickens in the mesa for the rest of the season. In season 5, it was digging out a massive underground shopping district with Scar underneath of the spawn area. Season 6, it was the civil war between Star Team and G Team, which I was a profiteer, basically a war profiteer.
Oh, gosh.
Which was kind of wild, but yeah, maybe wouldn't fly nowadays, you know, but yeah, it was a fun time and a fun story. In season 7, I was probably building up my pyramid, which had a mini golf inside. Basically, I made the Great Pyramid, but with mini golf.
Wasn't that the season that you did a base switch as well, right?
Yes, the big base swap. Yes,
base
with
swap,
Doc.
Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, that was a great time. And then season 8, the moon crashed into the world and ended the world. That was kind of a fun like one-off thing we did. Season 9, I made a game called Total Chaos, which was, I called it the most chaotic game in survival Minecraft, which had dripstone crashing down from the ceiling, potions shooting in from the sides, flaming arrows, you had to dodge, shulkers in the walls, witches in the walls, all just trying to make a chaotic PvP experience. And then I would say last season, the most fun I had was in a capacity I was the permit master of Hermitcraft. So I could basically boss people around, tell them what to do, what they could and couldn't do in the shopping district. And that was a lot of fun. Had a good time with that.
For the Hermitcraft fans here then, because I'm assuming there'll be a fair bit listening to you today. Obviously season 11 is still pretty fresh. It started at the start of November. We're currently recording this on the 1st of December. I sent you the wrong date, but it's okay. We're here now regardless. What are your plans? Do you have any plans you can reveal to us for this season?
I've been trying to think of some good ideas. I have some interesting concepts right now still. I've unfortunately been like super busy with real life stuff this whole month, but that's starting to dwindle a little bit. So I've been thinking of either a mythical land of legend and lore. There's a famous place in legend called Shangri-La, which is a mythical city that's found high in the Himalayas. So I'm thinking either that, or I'm also thinking of integrating, this would be a totally separate idea, but integrating a real life trip around the world with something that I build within Minecraft. So basically building real sites around the world that I would then travel to in like a vlog style video to sort of integrate Minecraft and real life. So those are two concepts I'm sort of weighing at the moment.
Out of curiosity, yeah, and it's such a weird question that I just normally wouldn't ask people on the podcast, but it's just because you mentioned it. Have you ever read the book from Michael Mapago called Escape from Shangri-La?
I have not read that one, but maybe should I? Is it a good one?
It's a good book. I mean, I only say I'm a bit biased because I really like Michael Mapago. But I mean, I used to when I was younger. I haven't read a book of his in ages. But he wrote one of my favorite books, which is called one of my favorite books. I don't even know the bloody name of it. It's called it is literally just called Cool, about like a kid and his dog. He also wrote a book called Escape from Shangri-La. I can't fully remember if it's worth it to read. It's just interesting because you brought it up there, and knowing that's one of the books I read when I was younger, it's funny coincidence.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I might have to check that out if I end up going with the Shangri-La idea. Yeah,
what is your like, obviously they're your favorite moments and stuff like that, but in regards to, like, builds, if you had to pick one specific season where you like looked back and you was like, damn, you know, that idea, that build was just perfect, what's your favorite build? Yeah, I'll give you a top three if it makes life easier for you.
I'll do a top three. I would say my top three would be my season 6 build at Concorp. That was a really interesting one with a bunch of like automation and farms and like a working city, basically, with the villagers. The villagers had just like started getting workstations and they had like jobs and stuff. So I made a city where they can basically move about, which was really cool. I would also say probably season 7, where I built the pyramid. I had so much stuff to, like, so much room to fill, and I was able to fill all of it with some really, really cool stuff. Like, I had a monorail, like a working monorail you could ride with using honey blocks. I had a huge door that, you know, open and close. It was like 20 blocks tall. A mini golf, obviously. And a whole bunch of mini games I made with the target blocks that were new at that time. And I would say probably my canyon base in season 8. I made a big sort of Bryce Canyon-esque base that was, I thought, really interesting and really utilized the new, like, dripstone and, like, raw ore blocks that they added at that time. So I think those three bases were probably my top three.
And then, with Hammercraft as a whole, it's had, like, such longevity. So I know I'm specifically just interviewing about Hammercraft here, but it's just interesting because it is kind of, like, the forefront of your channel.
Absolutely.
Whenever you talk about SMPs and you talk about the best SMPs of all time, it's really, I mean, it's impossible to miss out Hammercraft, right? What do you think has kind of caused its longevity? Like, obviously, you stuck around for so long. Other content creators on it have stuck around for so long. Like, how has that happened, if there's an answer?
I would say it's a combination of a lot of really talented people playing on Hermitcraft who put in a lot of time and effort into making incredible stuff. And, us being at the right place at the right time, right? There's an element of luck to everything. We definitely, I think, benefited from, having some of the best content, in my opinion, some of the best creators, the Minecraft creators on Earth, on our server. You know, we got Etho and Mumbo and Grian and Scar and everybody on Azuma and, you know, Impulse and Tango. So there's so many good players on the server, and they all sort of complement each other really well. But I think we also do a great job and work really, really hard to sort of integrate our own strengths and use our strengths we have as creators to complement other people's weaknesses in the group. So I think we work together very, very, very well.
Do you think you'd still be, and it's such a rough question here, it's a very hypothetical what if, but regardless, I'm going to ask it. Say Hermitcraft never existed, or say you never joined Hermitcraft, do you think you'd still be making content today?
That's a good question. Possibly. I know back in 2016 or something, when I first joined Hermitcraft, I was still in a pretty good spot content creation wise. I had like a single player let's play I was doing, so basically the same thing I'm doing on Hermitcraft, but it was a single player world. So it's very possible I might have continued down that pathway. As far as if it would have lasted this long until 10 years later, I don't know. I really don't. It's possible I could have gone to like another game or another series, maybe modded Minecraft, something like that. But the channel would definitely look a lot different than it does today, for sure. But I don't know if I would. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. Good question.
Sorry, it's a really big hypothetical. It's like asking me what would I do if I wasn't doing the podcast. I don't know. Like, it's just because I moved into the podcast to move away from the content I was doing. So if I never moved into the podcast, it's just something that wouldn't have happened. Like, if someone said, "Oh, if you didn't do podcast content," but it's something I specifically moved into, if that makes sense. So it's like you specifically said yes to join Hermitcraft. So it's very like, right, if you said no, but you know, you wouldn't have said no because you said yes forever. But regardless, it's still an interesting question.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I was full time for about a year and a half before joining Hermitcraft. So I think I probably would have stayed in the content creation space at least a little bit, but as far as the longevity, who knows? Who knows on that front?
You're closing in. I mean, I say closing in. You're still closer than a lot of other people to 1 million subscribers as well. Do you reckon you'll be hitting that anytime soon?
Hopefully. I mean, I've been sort of at the same 820,000 subscribers or so for the past, I don't know how many years, like 4 or 5 years. So we'll see. We'll see. I've been trying to do a little bit of different, like more targeted videos recently with some like different formats, I would say, to just experiment with that. But maybe, yeah, who knows? People subscribe, then that would be great.
Well, season 11 seems to be off to a pretty good start for you though, which is nice.
Yeah, it's been great. Yeah, people have really been liking it, and yeah,
I mean, I've been enjoying it. I watch Hermitcraft every now and then. I'm not gonna lie and say like I'm a Hermitcraft super fanboy, for example, but I do keep up with it, and I will say that you've been doing an amazing start to the season, so very enjoyable.
Thanks. Yeah, it means a lot. Yeah, I know a lot of us were very excited to get going on this season. We've done a lot of planning. We got a lot of cool stuff coming up in the future, so it should be very exciting.
So I have someone who helps me do research. Their name is Roman. I always like to give them credit whenever I use some of their research, because obviously a lot of it I do myself, but it's always nice to have a second pair of eyes. So they mentioned that the survival let's play that you referred to earlier that you ended in 2016, and yes, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, because because I'm just reading what they've told me, is that in the final episode of that, you very much talk about astrophysics, because what was it? I can't remember word for word, but when you started your series, there was like a rocket that was launched or something, and then it landed when you ended your series. Do you remember? Do you know what I'm on about here?
I built a SpaceX reusable rocket that could launch and up to an orbital space. No, it wasn't really an orbital space station, but it was a space station. It could dock with the space station and then return back to the launch pad. And I built that because back in 2015 is when SpaceX first reused an orbital class rocket. So that's what that was. I'm assuming that's what that is.
yeah, something similar to that. Sorry, I can't remember exactly word for word what they said. But something else they told me, which I forgot to bring up earlier when we were talking about the whole what you did before content creation, is apparently you met Obama and Bill Clinton.
yes. Briefly. So I think people interpret this as I, like, you know, sat down in the Oval Office with these guys, but that is not the case at all. It was more a fortuitous luck of the draw type thing where Clinton visited my town and I was able to shake his hand for like half a second, you know, that sort of meet and greet thing. And then Obama came to my town before he was president, actually. And I got to meet him at a sandbag filling station where I was volunteering to fill sandbags for a flood that was going on in Illinois at the time.
I'm going to sound a bit biased when I say this, but I think I'd be more honored to meet Cub fan. But that's just me personally. Like, if I got to shake Cub fan. Because I know you was at... Were you at... I say I know, and now I'm asking the question. Were you at TwitchCon San Diego?
Yes. This past year? Yeah.
See, I wasn't there. But I did go to the Europe one. You don't go to the Europe one. So... Which is understandable, right, yeah. But...
You know. I haven't gone to the Europe one yet, but I might have to go this year. This might be the year to go. Are you going again?
Oh yeah, I will be. I had a very eventful TwitchCon Rotterdam, I must say. That was fun. No, but I love Twitch. It's just, I want to go to America. Like, I do want to go to the American one. It's just, I have this thing is I can go to Europe on my own and be completely fine because it's only an hour away. Like, it's quicker to fly to Rotterdam than it is to go up north in England by train.
Sure.
But like going to America, I don't want to go to America unless I'm hanging out with someone who's American and I can just never organize going with someone. But
gotcha.
You should come. You should definitely come. Especially if, like, if you get to play an MCC, for example, you have the perfect excuse.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It would be fun. I know several hermits and several people I know in MCC are going to be there again, of course, this next year, I assume, for TwitchCon EU 2026. But it might be the year. It might be the year. But it is far. But I think it might be worth it. It might be the year. We'll see.
One of those things that you have to do at one point, right? Even if you do it and you're like, actually, I don't really enjoy it, I'm only going to stick to the American one, that's fine. But like, it's just something that you have. Like, I want to experience the American one at least once in my life. I just have to have an actual reason to go. Because I've moved out recently and, like, you know, YouTube, I put more money into YouTube than YouTube gives me a lot of the time. So, you know, sure. With the moving out and working a full-time job, I have to kind of work around that. So I was meant to go, but then, like, the day that I was meant to be flying out to TwitchCon ended up being the day that I moved out into the new house with my partner. So it was quite interesting.
Yeah, that's very, very tumultuous time then. Yeah, so you had a lot on your plate at that time. Yeah,
it was. Yeah, I mean, I still do now. I don't know if you've heard about the Crafted Together Awards. By any chance?
I have. Yeah, yeah.
Have you?
I have briefly on for a. I saw like one or two posts about it. I didn't look too much into it, but yeah.
Hey, look, I'll still take it. I'm working hard at that, so it's been fun.
Yeah, good deal.
Speaking of TwitchCon, we might as well get into this a little bit. I always, whenever I bring someone on who's gone to TwitchCon, I always like to have a TwitchCon segment. I don't really know why. I guess it keeps me excited and hyped for next year's one by talking to people about it. So how many TwitchCons have you been to?
I have been to three. I've been to all the three US ones the last 3 years. So Vegas, and then last 2 years in San Diego.
That's the exact same as me. I went to Paris as my first one, and then both the Rotterdams. So we're literally the same, but just on different sides of the world.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, that's cool.
you've played in MCC how many times for like Twitch Rivals?
Oh man, I don't even know. Probably dozens. For Twitch Rivals.
I should say specifically
twice.
Live ones, sorry.
The live Twitch Rivals ones twice, yeah.
Okay. And how do you find that? I get it's a very broad question here, but very obvious question, but you know, answer it however you like. Do you enjoy it?
Yes, it's absolutely amazing. Like, hearing the crowd like react to a great play you do is just like a whole nother experience. Like, it's just it's phenomenal, and they put on such a great show at these live events. I was able to watch it from the crowd this last time, and like, they have guys there like hyping up the crowd during the sort of breaks in the action. So it's an amazing time as a contestant and as a viewer. It's great.
You may have been in the crowd for MCC Live. However, you were on the panel for the Hermitcraft panel.
Yes.
I kind of had a browse. I won't lie and say I watched the full thing. But how was that? What was that? Obviously about Hermitcraft, but what was it about?
So that was just about how Hermitcraft makes videos and how we sort of operate the server a little bit and like sort of how we come up with ideas and how we collaborate across, you know, the world, basically, because we got people in, you know, the UK, we got people in Germany, we got people in Australia, people in Sweden, people in Canada, all these different places, and how we sort of coordinate everything across time zones and across cultures and things like that. It was phenomenal, though. We had a amazing crowd. Fans seemed to enjoy it. We announced the new season at TwitchCon, which was kind of fun. And yeah, it was a great time. Had a really fun time at the panel. And yeah, it was great. I mean, we like to talk for a living as content creators, so we had no problem getting up there and speaking on stage. It was a blast.
I can tell you like speaking. You're doing great on the podcast so far. It's been a great time.
Thank you.
I just want to ask a question, and it's completely gone from my head, which is really frustrating. Something about the panel, or about Hermitcraft again. Oh, I can't fully remember, but it's okay. Oh, that's actually, no. It's kind of linked to the panel, not really. So, conventions. You've been to TwitchCon. Have you been to any other ones? Like, did you go to Minecon when it was a thing? Have you ever been to, like, what's it called? What's the other one called? Just have you been to any other conventions?
Yeah, so I went to Minecraft Earth way back in 2013. Not Minecraft Earth, sorry. MineCon is what it was called then. MineCon in 2013 in Orlando, which, you know, back then it was a totally different experience because they were still, you know, Notch was still the head of Mojang, and, you know, they rented out like a theme park. I think it was like Universal Studios for like an entire night for all the attendees, which was crazy. And then I went to London in 2015, to the London MineCon, and Los Angeles in 2016. We did Hermitcraft did a panel there at that MineCon. And I actually was at the Minecraft Earth in 2018 in Boston, Massachusetts, which was mostly online, mostly a live stream thing, but there was a small crowd that was there, which I was a part of, since we did sort of another panel thing in Boston. So I've been to quite a few Minecraft conventions in addition to like TwitchCon. As far as other things like PAX and stuff like that, like other VidCon is another one. I have not been to any of those, but potentially might be going to PAX this year, potentially.
Ooh. So with that then,
yes.
Do you have any like memorable fan interactions or content creator interactions? Like a funny moment with a creator, or like a really nice or sweet moment with a fan, like, or a viewer? There has to be something.
Yeah, there was one person I met, I want to say it was back in 2016, that as soon as they started talking, like they were like, I had seen them in the distance, right? And they were like, I thought they were like sort of walking toward me. So I was like, huh, they're kind of coming this way. And then they came up and said something. I want to say it was something like, oh my gosh, how are you? How have you been? Asked like all these questions. I instantly knew who the viewer was based on just how they spoke.
Oh my.
And I knew I had like interacted with them on the Twitch chat before. So that was kind of a cool experience, like recognizing somebody from like somebody you've interacted with online instantly from just how they spoke in real life, which was kind of cool.
Oh, that's sweet. Actually, that's nice. Got any other ones similar to it?
I mean, most of mine are probably meeting some of the other hermits for the first time, just sort of getting to know them in person rather than just, you know, through computer screen. That's been a cool experience. I had so many people come up to me, like even back in, you know, 2016, even at the most recent TwitchCon, were just so incredibly generous and so like heartfelt, gave me, you know, all these amazing art pieces that they created based on things that I've made in Minecraft. Somebody gave me like a giant 2-foot plushie of a Gasket Bowl trophy that I was a sport that I made on season 10 of Hermitcraft. Just stuff like that, just like overwhelming love from people has just been awesome to be a part of. And yeah, it means like so much to me that what I do in game in Minecraft can impact people's lives in such a positive way. It means a whole lot to me, and it's awesome to meet people and be able to learn a little bit about their stories at these conventions. That's sort of why I go, you know, just to learn about them and their stories, because to me that's the most interesting part, like getting to meet people and learning about their lives and how I am a little part of that life. It's just amazing.
I have a fun mini viewer like interaction that I've had with someone. If you're happy to listen to it quickly, it's just one that I haven't mentioned on the podcast in a while, so I feel like it'd be quite fun to bring up. So I won't say their name, but at TwitchCon Rotterdam last year, so 24, I was there, and this viewer, and they don't really watch my content anymore. Like, I haven't talked to them or interacted with them or seen them like for a very long time, but. Mm-hmm. They come up to me and they go like, oh, are you Inside MC or like Inside Orbis? They said to everyone. I said, yeah. I said, oh, can I get like your autograph? So I'd never handed out an autograph at this point before. I wasn't expecting it. So before TwitchCon 2025, which I actually handed out a few, which was shocking, mainly to content creator friends. But regardless, I practiced my signature. So I actually had a signature. Anyway, this person comes up to me and they ask for a signature and then we go from there. And I hope I've shown it today, but I'm very outgoing. Like, I don't change how I speak to people based on, you know, different levels of who they are. Like, I'm very just chatty to whoever, right? So
sure.
I turned around to him and I said, like, you know, like, these names are over there. Do you wanna get their autographs? And he went, oh, it's like I was like, come on, like, you know, like there was AJX, there was Rory Animates, who does the animations of the podcast. I was like, come on. So I took them around and I just was introducing to them. So pretend their name is Cub Fan. I was like, AJX is Cub Fan, they want your signature. Like, I think Mighty Brothers is there, Rory Animates, like, I just thing. And in the end, I was like, oh, let's go to this person. I was like, no, I'm okay. And I said, like, come on, like, you know this person. You wanna go to them? And I was like, no, it's okay. And I didn't mean to, but like I was just so blasé about the whole situation. I just escorted them to everyone that they wanted to meet and just introduced them. But then I think it got a little bit too overwhelming for them, so they asked me to stop, which I did. Like, I followed as soon as they asked. It's just like,
yeah,
you know, looking back on it, I was like, oh, I just, you know, I just did it. So
sure, yeah. Yeah, it can be you gotta, you know, have a balance of, you know, you want to be respectful of people and you want to, you know, greet them warmly and, you know, say hey and, you know, just have a good time out at the conventions. And you gotta especially when you're new to it, it can be a little bit I guess there's a learning curve to how you interact with people, I guess, you know.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's a cool story. Yeah, hopefully they had a good time and met some cool people. Sounds like
I think they did. Yeah, I remember they did. I mean, I like, so TwitchCon 2024, like, I had a great time, but with 25, I kind of mentioned it earlier, it's like I got a taste into what it'd be like to be a full-time content creator. Like, I had a panel, I casted a football match, I was doing interviews, like, I was actually doing full-send content creation. I got the taste of what it's like, and now I'm like, I want it so badly, but at the same time, it's just something that is, it'll come when it comes, but it's just, it's still a distance away, you know, but I'm working on it, so it's always
true.
Fun.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
we've talked about like kind of SMP and like your specific YouTube content and that kind of jazz. However, you are also I'm not sure how long you've been doing it for. You're also a Minecraft event player as well.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. So I've played in a couple of events, Minecraft Championship events, both like the live ones and the online ones, as well as Block Wars and some Twitch Rivals events, both like in the collaborative ones with MCC and the old Twitch Rivals events, which they had, I think, like pre-pandemic, it was kind of a big thing. Not so much post-pandemic, but yeah, they had a bunch of crazy events for Minecraft creators, and yeah, I've been a part of a lot of them.
What have been some of your favorite event moments over time? Like, you know, you can mention ones you've won, but we won't boil down to that. You like funny moments and all that kind of jazz.
Yeah, well, winning definitely helps. Like, winning is a great thing, but it's not the only thing. I've had a couple great moments. Actually, in the most recent MCC we played, was sort of a I think I was with Filza. Let's see, who else? CPK and Lagundo. I play with all those guys, and we were sort of the oldest. Yeah, we were the oldest team in the event. So our one demand was that we play a game called Bingo, Bingo but Fast, and it was picked the first game. So we thought, what do we do now? This is our whole bit. We wanted to play Bingo when we played it. So we just continued to sort of lean into the old thing. Like, we wanted to play Bingo. We wanted to figure out where our where we kept our our medications, you know, we all the old tropes, right? So we kind of leaned into that quite a bit, and it was a lot of fun. You know, we talked like this as if we had a grandson that would come and fix our computers, you know, so stuff like that. So yeah, that was a fun MCC. The most recent one we did was a blast, but
that was a really cool
time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a great time. It was a great time. But those teams happen all the time in MCC because they got such a great roster of players. So yeah. It's a fun time.
It's nice when, like, I would say Smage has done a good job at building a roster of, I guess you can say, friends, right? Like, I'm not gonna be parasocial and say, oh my god, all these content creators are like besties, but like, you get what I mean, where people can merge with each other fairly easily.
Absolutely, yeah. I think the Nox crew and Scott and those guys have done a great job of like fostering a roster that is really like exceptional. Like I can't think of anybody who I wouldn't personally mesh with that's on the rosters, and do a great job of team balancing. So it's overall just a really, really well-run event that is really enjoyable, I think, for not only the creators, but for the fans.
Tomorrow from recording this, you're in a pretty chaotic event. And by that, I mean, you're playing in Block Wars on a team of 7 people. Which is kind of insane. I mentioned it to you beforehand, but I'm bringing it up because I'm allowed to talk about it now. I will also be casting that, which is really exciting. My first Twitch Rivals gig. I've been waiting. So
congratulations on that. Yeah, that's going to be amazing.
Thank you. I am like beyond, like, I've been wanting to cast a Twitch Rivals for so long. I am so grateful for the opportunity. Like, I've been gunning for this, and I'm finally getting it. So but yeah, are you excited for that? That's on a Tuesday as well, which is always very insane for a Minecraft event, right? They're always hosted on Fridays, very rarely Fridays, many Saturdays, sometimes Sundays. A Tuesday event. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm very excited for it. Yeah, I'm getting to play with some people I haven't played with before. And I know, so we have 7 players on our team, and the event's called like Black Wars Chaos, which means it's going to be a total amalgamation of all these different things, and hopefully some fun moments will happen. But I think 2 of our players on my team specifically are playing in VR. Ooh. Which is going to be a totally different experience for me. Hopefully it goes well, but yeah, I'm very excited to play.
So this podcast, so the event's happening on the 2nd of December. This podcast will be out on the 12th of December, so a fair bit afterwards. For prediction's sake here, where do you think you're going to place individually, so we can look back and see?
Let's see. I'm hoping to. I always try to aim for like the top half, right? Because I'm not like the most mechanically skilled player, but I'm definitely not the least mechanically skilled player. So hopefully somewhere in the top half is what I'm aiming for.
Okay, if you can give like an exact number, just for the sake of it.
I forget how many people are in the event, because the teams are not the same. I'm gonna say 20th.
Okay, I had the number in my head, 22nd. We'll see if you can place 20th or 22nd.
There we go.
Know where you're gonna place now. You're gonna place 21st, aren't you?
Probably right in between. Yeah, right, take the average. Yeah. Yep.
With the it's always interesting talking to like creators like yourself here, who have like been around to do like so many different years of content creation, right? I mean, you've kind of seen the Minecraft community grow and change and all the sorts. I did Minecraft, like, I played Minecraft since I was younger, and like, you know, I can't fully remember it, but I played like the Minecraft Xbox edition before it became Bedrock. So like, they had the survival games game on it, and was it Hide and Seek or some other similar game to it, right, back in like 2015 2016. But I didn't exactly keep up with Minecraft YouTube, at least as like as a content creator. I was here like watching certain creators, but not everyone. So how's it like, kind of linking back to previous conversations on the podcast, what was it like kind of watching Minecraft change and grow over there?
It's been kind of awesome, actually. I think the thing that's changed most about Minecraft, I would say, besides obviously, you know, it's now owned by, you know, Microsoft and everything. But I think the change that I've seen, especially around Minecraft content creation, is that people are just doing so many different niche things now, you know. So we had back in 2013, 2014, when I first started doing a lot of content creation on YouTube, it was more, you know, survival, vanilla Minecraft. But now we have, you know, the 100 days and the hardcore survival Minecraft, and the video essays on Minecraft, and speedrunning has become a major genre within Minecraft. And there's all these sort of niche subsections, I guess, of Minecraft, of the community, that are sort of doing their own thing, which has, in my opinion, made the whole Minecraft creation space a whole lot richer and a whole lot more enjoyable. Because if you, for example, wanted to get into Minecraft speedrunning, there wasn't like a whole ecosystem of creators that can teach you all sorts of techniques and sort of guide you through how to become a better speedrunner. But now there is that thing. So I feel like Minecraft content creation has sort of transformed from just pure survival Minecraft to this plethora of diversity within the space, doing a whole bunch of different amazing things with the game. So it's been awesome to see.
It is really crazy, like, as time goes on, how, I guess, just smart people get, right? Like, the capabilities of what you can do with this silly little block game, with what you can build, or what you can code, or what you can do, is just, it's kind of mental, right?
Right. Yeah. And I think people have sort of built upon what, you know, people in the past did to make even like bigger and better creations. And, you know, they make tools that can help players, you know, craft things and, you know, design what they want to design in cool, interesting ways. So it's been great. It's been great to see.
Before we move into the Twitter questions here, then, do you have anything else you wanted to talk about, or have we done a pretty good job of covering everything?
I think we've done a pretty good job. Yeah, it's been, I think we got most of everything down. So yeah,
I'm so good at my job. Gosh.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't ended just yet though, because we have the Twitter questions. Woo!
Oh, the Twitter questions. Oh my gosh. So, Here we go. Buckle
just
in.
A heads up for how this is gonna work. I've started giving a pre-warning to people now. Because these aren't my questions, I tend to not build on them too much. So this will very much be like, I ask you a question, you answer, I ask you the next question. As for like, now we've been having a conversation, that kind of stops at this point. All right?
Okay, sure thing. I can give a quick answer. Quick question,
Well, no, you don't
answer.
Have to be quick about it. Just know that I'm not going to fully build on it.
Okay, fair enough.
So we'll start with your quote retweet, which is, again, thank you for that. I appreciate it. Got a lot of replies.
Sure thing.
This first one's from Shauna Cool. Favorite celestial object outside of our solar system?
Sagittarius A star, which is the black hole at the center of the galaxy. Very Ooh. Mysterious, very powerful, and an active area of study.
See, this is why I tend just to like, I know I probably should care a bit more about like life in the world and stuff like that. I'm going against what I just said about not building on things, but I'm going to do it anyway. I don't care. It's fine.
All good.
I tend not to think too much about things outside of like me. I feel like my brain would just, I'd get too stuck in this rabbit hole of like twirling into different things. And I feel like I'm a bit too busy for that. Like what you just mentioned there, it sounds really cool. But at the same time, I don't think it's something I'd fully want to like go into depth learning about, because I'd just get too hooked on it, if that makes sense. Like binge watching a TV program, for example.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah. It's a, like I said, it's a complex topic and people don't really fully understand black holes quite yet. So yeah, it's understandable. It's understandable that you'd be kind of interested in something, because it is sort of one of those unknown things, which, you know, in our world today, you know, we have a lot of information at our fingertips. And so something that's actually unknown, it's still mysterious in some ways, is definitely interesting.
Well, the next one comes from Conan Tool. Keep the theme here. Not really Minecraft related, but what first got you interested in rockets/space?
So I kind of said earlier about like being interested in math. And so, you know, rockets and space is just, it's all applied math. You know, you got orbital mechanics, rocket science, you know, making equations to make sure that the rocket doesn't blow up on the way to space. Kind of an important thing. So yeah, I would say interest in math led to, you know, applied math, which is rocketry and astronomy.
Well, I just asked to see if there was an extension for that answer, but you know, time sure regardless, it's okay. This next one comes from Linda Everett. I would like to know about your strategies in MCC. You're always killing it. So that's question one. I'll just ask the second question here as well. Also, what other games are you passionate about? For them, it's Minecraft and Stardew Valley. And what about you?
So first question, like, how do I prepare for events? Usually I practice a little bit for events, sometimes on stream, sometimes not. I try to keep up to date on some of the, you know, most recent strategies. If there are like any VODs available, I'll probably VOD watch a little bit to make sure, you know, I'm following some of the best routes. As far as other games, I would say, I've really enjoyed a game called Satisfactory recently, where you basically automate things and, you know, have conveyor belts going everywhere and deliver certain materials and combine certain materials. Basically like a factory, basically similar to like Factorio, like a factory building game, but it's more 3D and the graphics are, in my opinion, a little bit better.
Okay.
So that's been a fun game. I've also played some RPGs. Like I played through Cyberpunk 2077. You know that game?
Yeah.
That was a pretty fun game. So just a variety of games, really. Yeah, it's just, I don't really have sort of a specific genre I focus on. I sort of play whatever seems like it would be an interesting concept.
The next one, I'm a big fan of this question, actually, so I'm excited to see your answer, is from Chunk Purse. Have you met any of the other 134 Cub fans? And how important is it to pay homage to those that came before you? In your case, 134 Cub fans. Oh, well, actually, 133, technically. technically.
Yeah, yeah.
It's 134, sorry.
It's very important to pay homage to the previous 133, 134 Cup fans, yeah. Yeah, for sure. But yeah, I'm excited to see the Cup fans to come after too, you know. Cup fan 136, 137, 138.
They'll do you proud, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
This kind of links to Shauna's question, but again, for time stamps, I'm going to ask this, cuz I think we might get a different answer. This is from Alexia. Do you have a favorite space topic? For example, black holes, that one manhole cover. Not sure what I'm referring to. Planets that may be capable of sustaining human life. They ended it there. There's no et cetera there, but I'm throwing in an et cetera.
Okay. So I think the manhole cover, there's a debate among people. I just go, this is a aside, but the manhole cover thing, there was a nuclear test in the 1940s that blew a man cover so quickly off the, I guess, manhole, that it reached escape velocity and possibly could have exited the atmosphere and gone into space. I think that's what they're referring to. That is a very interesting aside there. But I would say the most interested topic, thing I'm most interested in, is exoplanets and moons of exoplanets. So basically planets that reside outside of the solar system. So basically things like, and I guess investigating the possibility of, you know, aliens or life outside of the solar system. I'd say those two are probably the two main ones.
The next one here then comes from Lightning Aussie. So it wasn't actually a question, but it was a statement, and I want to ask a question about the statement they made. They said they forgot about your world record in minerals. So I'm going to need you to build on this one, please.
Okay, so the speedrunning community has a whole bunch of records, right? And one of those records was the all minerals, structureless all minerals world record. So basically mining all the minerals in Minecraft, smelting them all up. There's about, you know, like 12 or so that are counted for the record. And so I decided when I was doing a bunch of speedrunning 2 or 3 years back that I would go for this world record. And I actually, to my surprise, got the world record in getting the minerals before, like faster than anyone else. So that was very exciting. I also got another world record in the same category, but a different version. And like the 116 version. But yeah, that was kind of cool. Being able to do something that nobody else had really done as quickly was kind of interesting. And I think that record still stands to this day.
Wow. I'm so sorry for not mentioning that. I'm a fraud. Apologies.
No worries.
So now moving on to my replies, which are, you know, not as good. So, well, some of them are great. For instance, starting with Shiny Dude here. Shiny Dude is one of my friends. Oh my god, Cub fan has a rocket in their logo and Orbitz has a planet. This is literally the perfect pairing. Like, that's the type of replies I get from people like Shiny Dude.
Nice.
We got Mel saying, nice. Holy, two goats in a room. Discord call. They were very happy to see you come on the podcast.
So let's go.
The next one here then, the actual question here, comes from Sea Dog the Pro. So, two questions. One, very different, but also covers topics that we've talked about. So there may be a little bit of a duplicate here. One, how do you prepare for Minecraft events?
So how I prepare for Minecraft events, VOD watching, practicing the games where it's available. Sometimes even going into like a single player world, like a creative world, and just testing like techniques, like block placement and things like that, movement techniques, and parkour and stuff. And then I would guess also a big part of it, especially if you're on a team, you want to, you know, communicate with your teammates, make sure everybody's on the same page and what you're doing. That can be like practicing with teammates on occasion, or just, you know, making sure that everybody is cool with, you know, what you're doing in the event, like a day of.
And then their second question is, where do you get your inspiration / ideas for your Hermitcraft bases?
The short answer is pretty much everywhere. Like if I see something cool architecturally, or a landscape that looks really cool, I'll be going and making that in Minecraft for sure. It helps to, you know, be up with popular media. So I've made some things that are sort of reminiscent of like Stranger Things, with like a corrupted portal type thing. Things like that also provide a decent amount of inspiration. So pretty much everywhere is where you can get inspiration from. Just have to always be looking for it.
This one is from SmallishFan08. Okay, Lils. What's the hardest part of being in such a long-running and popular SMP?
The hardest part for me, I don't like to do the same thing twice. So coming up with new ideas constantly is kind of the biggest struggle for me. It sort of helps when there's like new updates, because you have sort of new tools to play with and new blocks and mobs and things interact differently than they used to. But yeah, coming up with new ideas, I try and work very hard to try to not repeat similar things so that there's always something new and interesting for people to watch.
I like this question. This one is coming up. Quite a fun one. It's from Sunshine Toki. I hope I said that. Toki. Sorry, apologies. What underrated mechanic should players use more often in Minecraft?
Ooh, I think that the trident is actually criminally underutilized.
Okay.
I think the trident can not only help you do things like, you know, fight mobs underwater, but also can launch you out of the water so you can fly away. You can use it with ender pearls. You can use it with the spear coming up, which is going to be cool. But yeah, I think tridents in general.
This next one is also a very interesting question. It's from Lord Second Free. We know Cub published some academic papers. So my question is, does he miss doing those type of things like scientific research and academic writing? This is all assuming he doesn't do it, but seeing what a grind champ he is, one does wonder if is there enough time for it. Sorry, I butchered speaking there, but you know.
Yeah, all good. Yeah. Do I miss any academia or like writing research papers and things? I would say not too much. I enjoyed it for what it was, but I was unsure if I wanted to do that for like ever. It can also be, you know, a little bit tedious because academia is nice, but it can be, I don't really know the right word to describe it. I would say it can be not really tedious, but there's a lot of things in academia that you have to do that you don't necessarily want to do, like writing grants and things can be problematic. So I miss the actual research part of it, but not so much the stuff that comes along with it, let's say.
The next one here then is from Henning Benning 2. I'm just going to say what they said and you can build on it however you like. They said, hope you talk about mid-offs.
Mid-offs. Yeah, mid-offs. All right. So mid-offs was a speedrunning competition where players who are not like professional speedrunners face off in a tournament-esque fashion. And you're paired with, so each player is paired with a pro-level speedrunning coach. I was paired with Silver Runs for my mid-offs competition, and basically he taught me some of the stuff that I didn't know about speedrunning. So like how to precisely measure the Eye of Ender when you're trying to find the stronghold, how to preemptively find the end portal without actually visually seeing the end portal, just reading like the graph, the pie bar or the pie chart on the screen. So it was a blast. Tubbo hosted it and actually ended up doing pretty well. I got a couple of, I beat the game in under 20 minutes a couple times.
Wow.
I think I finished, I want to say fifth and tied for fifth and sixth out of 16 competitors. So it was a blast. Really cool thing for the MCSR community to do, the Minecraft speedrun community to do. But I was very fortunate to be a part of it. And yeah, thanks to Tubbo for hosting that. It was a great event. Highly recommend you guys check out the mid-offs. I think there might be another one in the works.
I think in January is mid-offs free.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be great. So I'll definitely be watching, and I encourage people who have not seen mid-offs to check it out.
I always enjoy, I do a little series called Last Month Inside MC. I basically cover a very rapid roundup of just everything that I have wrote down on my Excel spreadsheet that happened last month. The mid-offs is always a fun mention.
Oh yeah, fantastic, fantastic.
This one is from Power Obel. I'm really going to hate timestamping this. Oh gosh. I hate timestamping the Twitter questions because like every 2 minutes I have to open it up and write. What is your favorite building block and what is one you want to use in the future?
Okay, favorite building block? Let's see. I would say actually, I'm going to say lodestone for favorite building block. It's just a very fancy block, has a nice top to it, and the side you can use for a variety of different uses. What do I want to use more in the future? I think I want to use more, I would say more moss in my builds. I usually don't do too much greenery, but I need to start implementing that a little bit because there's so many plants and like variety of different like flowers and things you can use with moss that I think could be very cool.
Okay. And that's all for the Twitter questions. We have like a few more that was asked, but most of them are duplicates and all that kind of jazz. So I don't really want to overspeak what we've already speaked about. But yeah, that's it for the Twitter questions, and sadly also means that's it for the podcast, which is heartbreaking, honestly.
Too bad. Yeah. That was fun though. That was fun. Thank you so much for having me on. This is a awesome podcast, and you do a great job of asking people some awesome questions, so thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on. I really appreciate that, and the kind words. Thank you. It actually means a lot. It's always nice to get that kind of reassurance, especially from another content creator that you look up to. Thank you.
Sure thing. Yeah, thanks so much for having me again.
Before I do the outro here, however, I always like to give this opportunity for you to promote yourself. So for anyone who's watched this far and has enjoyed the podcast but doesn't know who you are, Where can people find you?
So you can find me on YouTube, youtube.com/cubfan135. I do survival Minecraft mostly on Hermitcraft with a bunch of other creators. I also cover some of the updates and make some one-off videos about various topics, mostly relating to Minecraft. You can also find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/cubfan135, where I do live streams, mostly, again, of Minecraft with info on the updates, we cover Minecraft Live stuff, things of that nature. And you can also find me on Twitter and Blue Sky as well, CupFan135.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Well,
thank you.
With that being said, then, that sadly brings the end of this week's Inside MC. Thank you all for listening, and thank you again for coming on. You've been an absolutely amazing guest.
Cheers. Thank you so much for having me, man.
All right. This has been Inside MC. Thank you all for listening. Stay safe. Don't eat too much bread. Pieces.